Listen afternoons from 3 till 7 on Sports Radio 96.7 and 1310, The Tick.
Bob's World. Soccer. NFL.
Bob's World. Bob's All right, it's World. Bob's World time, and here is Bob.
All right, it is a chance to offer you something new, but I did want to follow up on delivery driver talk from a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
People sent us. The question was, can you make good money delivering food to people? And do people really have one cup of coffee delivered for like $15 all in? And it's a interesting world out there. I kind of think I would enjoy delivery because you're in your car and you're
sure
kind of
doing your own thing.
Just doing your own thing. Don't have the man looking over your shoulder.
No.
Telling you to get the brake on time. Stephanie says, I have a friend who does Uber Eats deliveries Mondays while her kids are in school. One delivery to and from work most days and makes about $1,500 a month.
On month, just doing Mondays?
She must have made a mistake there, right? Weekdays?
4 days?
Weekdays, maybe? I don't know.
I mean,
that's some walking around money.
Yes.
Here's Wayne. I heard your discussion of food delivery today on The Ticket. Wanted to provide a few details. I'm an Uber Eats driver for the past 5 months. I am 78. Social Security alone really doesn't go that far for my wife and me. While my health is generally pretty good, there is much I cannot do, such as standing for prolonged periods or carrying heavy items. So I decided to give Uber a try, delivery only, as I don't want the hassle of dealing with people. I only see maybe a third of the people I deliver to. The good thing is I can choose when I want to work and which deliveries I want to make, but the pay sucks. My biggest week was when I worked 46 hours and I made $295. Usually, however, I work 5 hours and a good day is $50. I pay for my own gas, $10 an hour. Trips can pay as little as $6 for a delivery from Arlington to Irving. Shorter trips pay $2. And tips? Well, less than half of the people tip.
Mm.
And they run about $3. Okay. It's amazing what people
I always tip
have delivered and how far from Wayne.
It's not what I'm hearing.
Because he played a drop?
Uh-huh.
And this is from Quinn. He says, it's Quinn here from Fat Luca fame, as you the song. As you may or may not remember, I'm a teacher and coach in Mesquite with two daughters in college. So I've been Ubering since the time they started to get through school. I started out only doing Uber Eats because my car was not the greatest, but since I got a new car a few years back, I mostly drive people and only turn on Uber Eats when it is slow, which is quite often, especially the past month other than New Year's Eve. I can turn either one on or off when I want. As far as what I can make, it's kind of up to me. If I drive 40 hours, it is kind of hard with a full-time job. I can make $1,000 if I work the weekends and 2 to 3 hours before I go to work during the week.
What does that mean? $1,000 a week?
I think he's saying a week there.
Okay. Yeah, if he works 40 hours, that's $1,000.
Okay. It's a lot of early mornings, but you get used to it. Just ask the musers. As far as what I make while doing Uber Eats deliveries, sometimes they are really good deals, but most of the time they are complete garbage. I've seen deliveries offered to me as low as $8 an hour, which is ridiculous. I would never do one of those.
So the people that don't tip, Dave.
I always tip.
Well, he said you didn't.
Why don't you tip,
I
Dave?
Don't always tip.
Play that drop you play.
Above the suggested amount.
We want you to start tipping, Dave.
Yeah.
I think that would be very helpful.
Dave. But you tip 18%, let's say.
Sure.
Well, I think that's fair, right?
They're not making the food. They're just driving it to me.
Right, exactly. But the people that are
You want to see them make the food before you would give them a better tip, you've said.
The guy that said that half the people don't tip, what are they doing?
Yeah, you're having to go in and zero out the tip for the driver. That's
okay.
Sorry.
I understand not tipping when you go pick your food up.
Yeah.
And they lay it out there for you, and there's a place for tip, and you begrudgingly just kind of exit out and write your name. I understand that.
Unless, like, they do a tremendous job packaging up. There are some places that really have to go down to a science.
Exactly. And I have no problem giving them a few bucks. I'm not going to tip them 20% for going to pick up the food.
Right.
But I'll give them something. But the people that are giving nothing to have your food delivered, Dave,
stop!
We wish you would consider it,
Dave. I just don't get it. That is just the sheer sorriness. You're lazy for not going and picking up your own food, period. But
then
you're sorry. Yeah, then you're sorry for not tipping.
Well, the psychology is kind of backwards on that too, right? Because the people cooking the food, that is your job, right? Versus the person delivering the food. Imagine the wear and tear on your car and whenever you have to fix it because you're putting all those miles on it and you're going to have to get a new car sooner. They're actually the ones, I think, that are much more deserving of the bigger tip, right? The person actually delivering the food to you.
Right, and their car smells like curry.
I totally agree. And don't you guys think that Uber basically, whenever they started just as Uber, there was no tip and there was no tip mechanism that I knew of. Maybe there was. But I mean, it was labeled as a no tip outfit, right?
I don't remember.
Dude, early on, there was no tipping in Uber.
That was your way out, right?
I would tip you, but it doesn't allow me to.
I don't think there's any way on here.
Nobody's handing the Uber driver $5.
All right. Let's get to today's topic.
Okay.
On Bob's World. So, I don't know if I've...
That was just a bonus.
That was a follow-up.
A preamble.
Yeah. Well, this is today's, and this... Today, I wanted to tell you what I heard recently that I can't believe. And the source material is a podcast I've mentioned, I think, a time or two on here called Acquired, which is kind of the story of companies. And this one's about Starbucks. And so Ben and David on the Acquired podcast, it's great, but it's also like 4 hours. So I don't know if you want to listen to 4 hours about Starbucks, but if you do, it can get you through some long walks. So anyway, they have Howard Schultz, the CEO of Starbucks, very famous guy, I believe. Isn't he also like, wasn't he the Sonics owner at one point? And I'm trying.
Yeah.
I think so. Mm-hmm. He's Howard Schultz.
The Peanuts guy.
No, not the Peanuts
guy.
Not
Charles Schultz. You're not helping again.
You're
intentionally
hurting.
Not helping.
You're only hurting. Play the Dave drop.
So here's my laptop. We'll need this. So here is a minute and 30 seconds from this podcast that sort of blew my mind as they start talking about gift cards at Starbucks.
And the novelty of that and the uniqueness of it, especially for our product.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone pretty much copied it.
It is interesting to, David keeps saying it's so seductive, to put some numbers for listeners wondering, you know, why is the mobile app such an interesting thing? David pointed out the float. So, of course, if you look at Starbucks financial statements, right now, at any given time, there's about $1.8 billion of cash that Starbucks has gotten in the form, effectively, of as an advance from customers that Starbucks can use to operate. It's like this amazing
growth, capital, you know, store expansion, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
So not the only one. I mean, everyone.
Amazon has this.
Apple.
Yeah.
Apple has
Berkshire
this.
Berkshire has this. The insurance business.
Yeah. But it's effectively interest-free loan from customers, and a loan that's not all going to get called at once.
It will never get called.
Right. The breakage. And so there's this benefit of, like, it's a reasonably predictable amount of cash that comes in that you get to use, for your advantage. In terms of velocity, about $14 billion a year gets loaded onto gift cards. That's unbelievable. I mean, that if you actually like look at all of the banks in America, if Starbucks were a bank and you treated the gift cards as deposits, it would be in the top 10% by deposits of banks in the United States. It's this like unbelievable business model that happens to exist inside of this experiential business that powers this experiential business. But to your point, you have to keep it from eating the core.
Yeah.
So I had to listen to that like three times to make sure I understand what they were saying. And I want to tell you, I don't understand business. I'm trying, but I don't. And I may never. I'm just a sports guy. But they just said Starbucks takes in $1.8 billion a year in gift cards. $200 million of it, on average, every year, never gets redeemed.
200 million.
200 million.
They just found 200 million in the couch.
Now, is what we all have on our desks or in the junk drawer or in the middle of the car where somebody gave us $25 to Starbucks and we lost track of the card or threw it away or didn't care. And Starbucks, one company, is making $200 million a year off people handing them money and then never taking a product back.
So it's funny you mention that.
Snake.
I'm holding a Starbucks gift card in my wallet that I just found 3 days ago. And I was like, what is this functional? I don't remember having it. I don't remember ever using it. It's just there. This could be from 5 years ago. Yeah. I have no idea.
Yeah.
And can I use it?
Sure.
I can?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's into perpetuity?
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure there's some limit at some point, but if we were to put pen...
What if I was a time traveler?
Well, that's interesting.
But they do...
I go back in time.
That number is padded, not the 200 million, but the whatever billion number is.
Yes, sir.
Because when you are a regular customer and you use their app, every time you reload it, that's a gift card.
Wait, I don't think that's what they're talking about.
No, I think that counts because
it may count, but I don't think that's used in whatever algorithm they're spitting out there in that podcast.
Because you're adding 25, 50, whatever, you're paying them in advance for your next X amount of trips to Starbucks.
But I bet you if you ask them
I think what you load on your phone doesn't go on their balance sheets until you pay for something.
It gets debited immediately from whatever you use to fund it.
It's an interesting thing that I should qualify, but what I don't have to qualify because their earnings statements that they have to make public because they're a publicly traded company. In 2024, fiscal year, $208 million. In 2023, $215 million. So on average, over $200 million. Let's say it's just $200. That means every day in unredeemed gift cards, and I mean unredeemed. These aren't the ones where you're loading up your phone. These are ones where you just haven't used it. It's $550,000 a day in pure profit because we all think, what is a easy gift? It's a Starbucks gift card. And then they never get used.
Can you imagine?
To the tune of $550,000 a day.
Can you imagine having a business model where it's like that? Where you say before the year starts, all right, we're going to really crack down on the budget and we, you know, these croissants that we're selling and, you know, this ham and cheese croissant, whatever it is, we got to up the game. And then someone goes, hey, what about the $200 million that we start off with as profit?
Well, that's
how does that factor in?
And that's the other thing is the gift card money is, as they said on there, an interest-free loan for them to satisfy every operation cost of the company before the year even begins. It's like the customers are funding the business in advance with
it's their PSL.
Their
PSL, dude.
What I'm hearing is that we need to start offering hardline gift cards.
Yes, I think so. And does this, again, like they said, this is also something Amazon does. This is something Apple does. This is something the insurance companies, every time you make a premium, you pay a premium, you are paying in to a company and they only pay out when they have a claim. And so it's, again, it's their entire operational income is in advance to cover their expenses going out. And of course, massive, massive profits as well. But I just never, you don't think about it when you're thinking about a venti latte.
No, for $6.99.
It's genius. The gift card.
Damn.
Now, also genius and also something your grandpa wouldn't understand is what we pay for coffee. But that's separate to all of this.
Right.
As they made coffee an experience, Corby.
Did they talk about their margins on a cup of coffee?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and again, the idea that if they can get you to go work on your laptop in there or go read a book
third
in there.
Place. Did they talk about third place?
What's third place?
I don't know. It's been a couple weeks since I listened to this episode.
It's industry lingo, but I remember talking about it back when I worked in the ad biz.
Yeah.
But like McDonald's or Starbucks or even like your Capital One Cafe, your bank, they want to be your third place. So you have home and work, and where's the third place that you go and hang out?
Interesting.
The coffee shop.
Third base.
Yeah. Where do you get to third base?
How do you get to third base?